I mentioned this morning, we're going to be doing a study this evening of what does it take to be a fool in God's eyes. And so we want to begin, as we get into that study, making a couple of notes, and then hopefully we can get through a decent amount of the material, and hopefully we can gain some lessons from it. As you might imagine, we'll be spending the majority of our time in Psalms and Proverbs, since they have a great deal to say concerning what God considers foolish and those who are fools. I want to begin, though, but with a definition. The Oxford English Dictionary says, "A fool is a person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a stupid person." The Hebrew and Greek terms that are translated fool or foolish or some derivative form of that begin with a base concept of to be silly, okay? More often than not. But again, this carries with it more than the idea of someone who knows how to be silly. It's the idea of someone who is silly when they should be serious, okay? But it goes a little beyond that to one who is stupid or wicked or especially impious. And even one of the terms, evil, in the Hebrew, has a root meaning, which is to be perverse. When you come to the Greek, the idea is one who is dull. There is a term we are probably the only term we're actually familiar with by way of the actual Greek term, is the term reka that is used by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. And it simply, in a literal definition, is that which means morally worthless. Okay? And so you have all of these things brought together. There are three other terms that are in the Greek. One is aphros, which is literally translated is froth. But you have, when you break the word down into its component parts, that which is not the mind. So if you told someone they were aphros, they were one who was not using their mind. There's another word, I'm not going to say this right, anotos, which is the same idea, but it is not the mind, but perception. And so someone who is not being perceptive or understanding. And then asunatos, which is one who is not, again, one of understanding. So all of these terms come together for us to draw a conclusion that when God calls someone a fool, it is because either they are not giving recognition to that which is serious, that which is righteous, that which is holy, or they are those who are denying that which is good and that which is instructive. They are denying wisdom and understanding. Those are your two basic focuses. Those who refuse understanding, refuse godly wisdom, and those who will not hold to and give the correct kind of recognition to that which is good, that which is righteous. So let's notice what does it take to be a fool in God's eyes. Now, when you think concerning Psalms and Proverbs, probably the first thing that most of us think of when we think of the term fool is Psalm 14. Psalm 14, and I encourage you to do one of two things. Either take notes and write the scripture references down so you can go back and look at them later, or follow along in your Bibles as we go through these passages, though I understand there will be a lot, but most of them, like I said, will be Psalms and Proverbs. Psalm 14 in verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Now, the psalmist writer here is talking about a fool, but go to verse 2. He says, verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any who understand, who seek God. So here the direct contrast between the fool, the one who says there is no God, and the one of understanding, the one who seeks God. See, this passage, and the same statement is made in Psalm 53 in verse 1, is not just simply the idea of someone who is, in our day and term, the term would be an atheist or an agnostic, someone who simply denies the existence of God. That's not fully encompassing what the psalmist writer is dealing with. It's not him dealing with those who are completely opposed to the concept of God. It is those who do not recognize God, who live in such a way as to deny the existence of God. Turn to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Verses 7 and 8. Here the psalmist writer says, yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? Their claim was, God doesn't see. We can do these things. God won't know. God won't understand. What God doesn't care. It's not just the idea of God doesn't exist. It is that I can live my life with no concern about God. Now, would one, based upon Psalm 14, Psalm 53, one who denies the very existence of God, would he be considered a fool? Yes. But even those who claim that God exists and yet live as if it doesn't matter. God says they're a fool. Job chapter 2 and verse 10, Job's wife tells him to curse God and die. That's verse 9. In verse 10, Job says, you speak as one of the foolish women. Why? He says, do you expect to get good from God and not get evil? Now, the idea of evil there is not that God has done that which is wicked, but you get good and you get bad. Good times and bad times. Good things and bad things. He says, can you expect that you get one and not the other? It was the idea that if God exists, he must only do that which is good to me. If something is bad, just forget it and forget him. He says, you speak as one of the foolish women. So, first, what does it take to be a fool in God's eyes? Claim or live as if there is no God. Number two, live as if riches actually matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And beginning in verse 12, notice what Solomon has to say. Verse 12, then I turned to myself, then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what has already, or what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly. As light excels darkness, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. There is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come, and how does a wise man die as the fool? Now, this passage alone, it may seem as if Solomon is saying, listen, there's no point in being wise in contrast to being a fool, because they both die. But isn't that truly the point? A couple other passages. Psalm 49, verse 10. Psalm 49 and verse 10. Now, remember Solomon's statement. What good does it be to be wise when you end up dead just like the fool? Okay? That's Solomon's statement there in Ecclesiastes. Now, Psalm 49 and verse 10. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Verse 11. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beast that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dies he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. The psalmist writer says he sees the wise man die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. You might remember Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 20, where that landowner received a bountiful crop such that he built bigger barns. He tore the old ones down, built bigger barns, and he laid it all up. And he said to himself, soul, you're good to go. You're set. You don't have anything else to worry about. And God said, thou fool. The term that's used there, thou fool, is the term aphron. And it is that idea of one without mind. You might say, God said, you've lost your mind. If you think that riches will put you in a position where you can forget me. He says, this night, your soul is required of you. Said all of that to point out this. If you think riches actually matter, God says you're a fool. Because just like the wise man and the fool, the rich man and the poor man, we're all going to die. And we're not taking any of it with us. What is that which truly matters? It is that which is eternal. But notice also, number three. What does it take to be a fool in God's eyes? Ignore commands and speak instead of listen. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 7, the Proverbs writer gives a passage which, if you went to Tri-City School of Preaching or ever went there and walked into the Proverbs class, you better know this one. First memory verse you'll learn. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Go to chapter 10 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So notice the progression. Chapter 1 verse 7, you have the one who fears the Lord contrasted to the one who despises instruction. Chapter 10 and verse 8, you have the wise in heart who receives commands versus the prating fool, the one who just keeps babbling on, he will fall. You have in chapter 12 and in verse 15, you have the one who is a fool, he's always right. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Oh, I always know what to do. And I don't need anybody's help. God says you're a fool. Verse 15, the end, he says, "But he who heeds counsel is wise." Proverbs 15, and in verse 5, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." You know, I would dare say that even the worst of fathers sometimes give good instruction. You probably have been familiar in your lifetime with individuals that you've seen either their father, they've told you about them, or you've witnessed such fathers who their actions were wrong, the way they treated people was wrong, their lifestyle was wrong, but even they sometimes would say, "Don't become like me." You know, that's wisdom from a fool. It's not the person saying, "I'm going to change because I'm living wrong," but at least he's got enough wisdom to know, "You don't want to end up the way I am." But the fool despises the instruction of his father. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, and in verse 2, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." You want to know what delights a fool? To hear himself talk. Now, some of us here like to talk more than others. But may we never reach the point where we like the sound of our own voice in view of the fact that we despise the wisdom of others. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Solomon again, verses 11 through 15. Says, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. So the babbler here is compared to the serpent who bites. "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness." You listen to a fool talk, and he begins at foolishness, he ends at insanity. "A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city." Solomon's view of fools was not very high. But one point to be made from what he said there is the idea that where his discussion begins is foolishness, but the end is insanity. How many times do we find individuals promoting doctrines religiously that are foolish to begin with, but if you carry them to their logical conclusion, are utterly insane? And yet people believe it. We need to be those who are discerning concerning the words of others. But fourthly, what does it take to be a fool in God's eyes? Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. Jeremiah's description of Israel. He says, "For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children. They have no understanding." Notice here's the accusation. "They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." You want to know who God considers a fool? Someone who is skilled in evil, but is completely ignorant of doing good. That person, in God's eyes, is a fool. Turning back to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Some of the things that we've talked about in the previous points aren't really the most applicable to those present here tonight and to our own lives as we examine our own lives, but they're important. They're important for teaching and for training our children, bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But some things that probably hit a little closer to home as we continue. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." God considers one who cannot hold his tongue But not only that, one who expresses every thought that goes through their head to be a fool. One who vents his feeling. Now, there are times where people will say, I just need to vent. You know, something has been going on. It's driven me to the point where I just got to tell somebody what's going on. That's not this idea. This idea is, you make me mad and you're going to hear every thought that passes through my head. Someone who vents their feelings immediately to someone else. Because notice the contrast was there in verse 11, the wise man holds them back. He doesn't go out just telling everybody what he feels. He seeks to be wise. Proverbs 12, verse 16. Proverbs 12 and in verse 16. He says, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. You want to know who a fool is in God's eyes? Quick-tempered person. Someone whose wrath is known at once. You make him mad and you're going to know it. You're going to see the response immediately. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. He says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. He puts it out there for all to see. Now, what I'm not saying is that any one of us that I am aware of, every time something happens to them, they just begin to spew forth. What I'm saying is sometimes we have tendencies to lean towards some of these things, to speak before we think, to not hold back and be wise. And we have tendencies to allow our emotions to gain control of our mouth. But notice also Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. The Proverbs writer says, it is honorable for a man to stop striving. Now, that's not the idea of I've been striving with someone and now I'm going to quit and now I'm honorable. Okay? That's not what the Proverbs writer is talking about, and it's defined by the next phrase. He says, since any fool can start a quarrel. The idea here is the same idea Jesus gives in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed is the peacemaker. This is not the person who quits or leaves off striving. This is the person who puts a stop to striving. He's the wise man. For any fool can start an argument. If we're argumentative, if we start quarrels with others, God says we're a fool. If we put a stop to them, God says we're wise. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. God says, you take gossip and slander and you spread it to someone else, you're a fool. Before what you do is destructive. But notice the fool's attitude towards sin. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9 says a fool mocks at sin. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23 says to do evil is like sport to a fool. But a man of understanding has wisdom. The one who is a fool, according to God, is one who looks at sin as sport. It is just one more way of entertaining himself. And how often do we see in the news and portrayals, even in movies and such, that mentality? Someone just finds enjoyment in doing that which is wrong, doing that which is sinful. As soon as I read that passage, my mind went back to a song I heard growing up, which I'm sure it was around much longer because it was a remake. But it was one of Michael Martin Murphy's cowboy songs. And it was a song about Frank and Jesse James. But in the process of the song, it talks about the fact that, during one of the robberies, they had a little race. They shot someone to the ground to see who could do it first. They turn evil to sport. Such is God's definition of a fool. But notice also, as we continue on, a special category for foolish women in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, and in verse 1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman pulls it down with her hands. Now the idea of building the house here in the Hebrew is not simply the idea of the woman goes out, she cuts the wood, she lays the log, she builds the house physically. Mm-mm. It's that the woman, the wife, the mother, supports the home, specifically financially. Not that she takes the lead, but that she does not do things that are destructive to her home. God says if a woman is one who will be destructive to her own home, financially, spiritually, emotionally, she's a fool. But notice a correlating passage. It's Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, as Solomon speaks concerning the actions of a woman who is of ill repute. He says in verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. The idea of clamorous is she is loud. She is verbose. She is willing to flaunt her actions and herself. See, you don't have to be loud in volume to be clamorous. But this description is of a woman who is willing to flaunt herself to get what she wants. God says a woman who will act that way is a fool. Instead, you see the contrast in 1 Peter chapter 3 of a meek and quiet spirit in a woman is that which is honorable before God. So, number 10. What does it take to be a fool in God's eyes? According to chapter 26, verse 11 of Proverbs, repeat your folly. The quote made famous by Einstein is, an insane person who is one who does the same thing time after time and expects a different result. Proverbs chapter 26, Solomon had his own way of saying that. A dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Oh, you may be familiar with that proverb. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, the person who comes to a knowledge of the truth and turns back into the world. God says you're a fool. You've repeated your own folly. You knew that you were in sin. You knew that you were in wickedness. You knew you couldn't save yourself, so you became a Christian. But now, out of your own desires, your own lusts, your own wants, you've turned around and you walked right back in. God says you're a fool. But notice also number 11. Be a fool in God's eyes. Boast in your accomplishments. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is somewhat of an interesting passage in my own opinion, because it is Paul, as an apostle, being a fool at the instruction of God. Notice, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, I have become a fool in boasting. Now, if you remember the earlier chapters, there were those who were claiming in Corinth that Paul was not worthy, he was not significant enough as an apostle, or even he was not an apostle, and therefore they didn't have to listen to him. They didn't have to obey Paul's commands. He had no authority over them. But Paul said, even if we just go by physical greatness, by physical accomplishments, Let's see who's better. Let's see who is worthy of actually giving you instruction. And he lays out all of the things that he had done, all of the things he had suffered, all the things he had gone through on their behalf. And his point in chapter 12 and verse 11 is, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Paul says to boast in your birth, to boast in your position, to boast in your accomplishments, to even boast in your suffering is foolish. But he did it at the instruction of God solely to make a point, not because he thought it meant a thing. Notice what he said there at the end of the verse. For I am nothing. His point was this. If you want to go by physical greatness, fine. You still have to listen to me. But understand, I speak not of myself. I'm nothing. I've just given you what God has to say. We need to be those who understand that if we live a life that is boastful, God says we're a fool. If we think our accomplishments amount to anything, God says we're a fool. But notice, number 13, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, and this is the last one in this vein of what does it take to be a fool in God's eyes. Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, he's writing to these churches of Galatia. He's already talked about in chapter 1 that some of them have been turned back from that which they had heard originally. They've been led away to another gospel. He deals primarily in this book with the issue of those Judaizing teachers who were saying you've got to do the works of the law or you cannot have salvation. And Paul has accused them of trying to earn salvation. He says if you try to go back to the works of the law and justify yourself, you cannot be saved. But he says, this I want to learn from you. You who believe that you can go back to the law and justify yourself, this is what I want to know. This is what I want to find out. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you get the Spirit of God? How did you come into contact with the Spirit of God? Did you do it by the works of the law under the Old Testament, or did you do it by the hearing of faith under the New? Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? He says, have you started out your life as a Christian in the Spirit, and now you believe you can perfect yourself in the flesh? You can justify yourself by obeying law. If we believe that we can earn salvation or justify ourselves before God through our works, God says we're a fool. But then notice an appropriate response to fools based upon passages in Proverbs. Chapter 7, verse 22. An appropriate response to fools in trying to correct them, according to the Proverbs writer, chapter 7, verse 22, is stocks and shackles. Well, that's kind of severe, don't you think? Consider the severeness of a fool. Solomon says, in order to get it through their head, if they're truly a fool and they despise wisdom and instruction, you can't just tell them. You can't just hammer it into them and say, tell them again and again and again, and they'll actually learn. No. He says, you want to correct them? You put them in stocks. You shame them, and you bring them to a realization they can no longer be a fool. But notice also, he says in chapter 17, and in verse 10, that beating a fool is less effective than a rebuke to a wise man. Oh, that we are wise. Oh, that we might be those who hear the rebuke of God and be obedient to it and don't suffer as a result of being fools. But notice also, and I'm just going to list these for the sake of time, the Proverbs writer gives five things that the fool is unworthy of. In chapter 24 and verse 7, the fool is unworthy of wisdom. Chapter 26 and verse 1, the fool is unworthy of honor. Chapter 19 and verse 10, the fool is unworthy of luxury. Chapter 18 and verse 2, the fool is unworthy of understanding. And chapter 23 and verse 9, the Proverbs writer says the fool is unworthy even to be spoken to, for he is a fool. But then Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 7, the Proverbs writer says this. He says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. What's the appropriate response to a fool? Leave. Depart from them. Do not make them your companion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, evil companions corrupt good morals. The results of being a fool. According to chapter 17, verse 21 of Proverbs, you will destroy your father's joy. Father who has a son for a fool will not have joy. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 29 says, the fool will become the servant of the wise in heart. And then Proverbs chapter 19, in verse 1 says, it's better to be poor with integrity than to be a fool. The fool who speaks with iniquity is worse off in this life than one who is poor but has their integrity. In the realm of companionship, chapter 13 and verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Chapter 17 and in verse 12, we read, let a man... I find this one interesting. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. You're better off meeting a she-bear that has lost or been separated from her cubs. And if you know how a bear reacts when her cubs are taken away, you better run as quick as you can. You better get out of there or you're dead. He says, you're better off being in the presence of a bear that's lost her cubs than when a fool meets his folly. How many people have lost their lives because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time when a fool acted on his stupidity? But I want to end here. Chapter 7, verse 26 of Matthew. Chapter 7, verse 26, we have the account from which we derive the song that we teach our children, the wise and the foolish man. Jesus says the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. But what's the description of the foolish man? One who hears the words of Christ and does not do them. The wise man builds his house upon a rock. He hears the instruction of the Lord and obeys. But there's one time in Scripture that God says, I sure hope you're a fool. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 18. Paul desires that those in Corinth be foolish according to the world. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, he says that the preaching of Christ in the eyes of the world is foolishness. But it's the power of God to salvation. The gospel is that which the world would never have come up with. It's not their way to be saved. It's not how they think you could get to heaven, you could get salvation. That's not possible. Not by the way the gospel describes. It's foolishness to the world. But the foolishness of God is far greater than the wisdom of this world. Therefore, God says, when it comes to my word and the world, be a fool. Ignore the wisdom of the world and be wise. Hear the instruction of the Lord. If you're here this evening, you have need to respond to the invitation. It is made available to turn around a life. It is made available now and anytime. One needs to respond. Why not come as we stand and as we sing?
There's a great day coming.